Now we're going to switch gears here, and we just keep Prince rolling if you want to for a minute as we introduce Kim Trueheart to us all. She's in studio, longtime citizen activist and candidate from Baltimore City Council President, and the sitting president, who she's running against, just doesn't want to debate her, doesn't want to talk to her. Why is that, Kim? What's happening?
You know, Mark, I have no idea. I'm a nice person.
I think you're a nice person.
I think that my conversations are enlightening and, you know, amusing sometimes, you know. So you have to ask him that question.
Folks, do join us here at 410-319-8888. Or write to us here at talkatsteinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. But do join us here for the next 30 minutes or so as we talk with Kim Trueheart, who's running to become the next city council president in the Democratic primary this Tuesday, 410-319-8888. So talk about what drove you to this race. What is it that you thought needed to be done or said that's not being done or said by the president, and why you would take him on, such a powerful figure, I mean, politically powerful figure in this town?
Well, Mark, I really want to thank you for giving me this chance. You know, we're a few days before the Democratic primary. And what motivated me to put my name in the hat was on February the 3rd was the filing deadline. I woke up that morning, which was a Wednesday, and I always go to the Board of Estimates meeting on
Wednesday. Always, your presence there, right.
And I realized that our current incumbent council president was running unopposed. I thought that was so un-American. And I said, no. I said, this city looks and feels and is experiencing trauma like no place else. And for us to have an incumbent in office who even thinks that they can run unopposed, I'm not going to sit back. I just knew somebody else was going to step up. So 10 o'clock that morning, I went and filed.
So, but you have been standing up for issues in this city and people and communities for a long time, that's the last 10 years or so that, you know, you've been a omnipresent in many ways. So what is it you think that a city council president can be doing, given what you just described, that's not happening? That, you know, that was...
You know, I look at the role of the city council, and it is our legislative body. And so their role is to put laws and ordinances on the books that govern how business is conducted in our government. And there are some laws, and I've been using this term, that are injurious to the citizens. And injurious in the way that you don't pay your water bill, they take your house, right? How does that make sense? Now, I understand that there is a need for the fiscal health of the city to look good to those on Wall Street, right? And so we keep hearing that if we don't act as a collector, a bill collector of the debt that folks owe us, then Wall Street's going to frown on that, right? But where does government rules and laws and policies take into consideration that you cannot also harm the citizen? Sure, we don't want to harm our credit rating, but what about the harm that those laws cause to the citizens? And so I see that the council's role in ensuring there's a proper balance between what we do fiscally and what we do morally in our government has not been occurring. And I think that the citizens are suffering because we don't have a really strong balance where there is representation of the people in these decisions that get made that doesn't harm them. And I'm not saying that everybody is entitled to a check or handout, harm them. Just don't, you know, bring to this conversation detrimental kinds of policies and procedures.
Folks, join us 410-319-8888 as we talk with Kim Trueheart, who is running to become the Democratic candidate for president of the Baltimore City Council in this Tuesday's election, 410-319-8888. She's been a guest on the show numerous times as one of the people giving voice to different pieces of opposition and ideas about how to change the city. So what would a president do that's different? I mean, what, given that we have this, even though there's this new bill to give less power to the mayor,
yes,
it's still a very powerful mayoral system. So what could a president of city council do that he or she's not doing to make a difference?
Engage with the citizens in a very different way. You know, one of the things that concerns me is that, you know, our council members, the 14 in the districts, are considered part-timers. They really don't have sufficient staff to engage in the legislative review, vetting, drafting, like legislators, let's say, down in Annapolis or on Capitol Hill. And so we have expectations of these part-time employees of ours that I'm not sure that they're fully capable of fulfilling. So if I were council president, I would look outside the legislative body and bring in expertise, bring in folks to act as advisors to us. We quite often see where there is no debate, whether it's in the community or on the floor of the council chambers, about things that they put into effect. And then we end up suffering because they weren't well vetted out, weren't well thought through. You know, we have a great example is this youth curfew law that was enacted. And supposedly it was all about giving our youth coverage. But yet you put them in harm's way, the way we see it, by saying to the police, go pick them up after 10 o'clock, right? But bring them to the safe place. And all those safe places that they call connection centers, they've closed. So where?
And who knows that? Right. Nobody even knows that.
Yeah, exactly. So we had this huge.
They've closed?
Mark, I don't know that the curfew is even being enforced right now. And if it is, I'm not sure how. They've not provided us any feedback on the success or failure of the program. Okay, that's another thing. The council, you know, there was a big outcry from the community when that debate was going on at City Hall.
Right, absolutely.
And so why haven't we heard anything? Where's the feedback? I think the council's position should be to inform the citizenry of what the government is doing. And if we pass this controversial bill, how come we haven't had hearings?
We're here with Kim Schuhart, running to become the next city council president. A lot of people are calling in. Let's try to get Kim on the air while we have Kim in the studio. 410-319-8888. Hank, you're on the air. Welcome.
How are you doing today, Mr. Stein?
Very well, Hank.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Okay, Ms. Schuhart, right? A whole lot of your ideas sound in line with Carl Stokes, or near Carl Stokes' ideas, right? He was successful in pushing a lot of his through. So what makes you think that you'll be successful pushing his through a second time with your agenda, right? And you're talking about the country law that worked out fine for the kids who got locked up for having a lot of water in their pockets, right? And that's all that was a way to get minors under the age of 18 in the system, but have a lot of water in their pocket. Because most of the people that got locked up, or most of the children who got picked up for truancy, went down to Dumbo, went down to the other spot.
Okay.
After a while, there was no longer there to do that, and they just started picking up kids and the ones who had a lot of water on them in the neighborhood, they went to call, and the ones that they didn't, they sent them home.
Well, let me
that
like,
worked out to a great effect for them.
Hank, let me let Kim respond. There's like a full bank of callers. We're trying to get to a lot in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah, you know, I think nothing beats a failure but a try. You know, I stepped up to run for this position because I want to try some new ideas, some new concepts at City Hall that I have not seen. And that's not a knock against the individual that's there. It's just I think differently. I come to the problems from a different perspective. And I think that we need to give a try some new concepts and some new ideas. So please, I'm asking you, just give me an opportunity to do that. And I don't know what the outcomes were from the curfew, you know. And so I'd like to be able to address how many kids were arrested, what their outcomes were in the court system, whether they were diverted to alternative programs. I don't know that info, but I think the council has a responsibility to tell us.
410-319-8888. Gary, you're on the air.
Kim Schuhart, and hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you, Kim, I've seen your name a few times in print. It's the first time I remember hearing you speak, and 100%, you got my vote.
Thank you.
I was just talking to one of my friends and coworkers yesterday about fighting against patriarchy, and that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
As a young man who was raised in Warburg Junction by a single mom, and I just wanted to tell you to just keep going for it. I'm certain that that note that is missing in the universe right now, formerly known as Prince, is smiling upon us right now. So I'll just let you guys go, man. You take good care.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you so much for your support.
Let's go to another phone call here. 410-319-8888. Allie, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So I want to thank Ms. Trueheart for running, and I certainly plan on voting for you on Tuesday.
Awesome. Thanks.
And I wanted to ask, I'm not new to Baltimore. I mean, I've been here 16 years, but I'm sort of new to local politics. I've always, paid attention to national politics, but not so much locally. And so I wondered if you could sort of explain, I mean, I'm sort of taken aback by how much power the people don't have, because there's all these unelected bodies that make major decisions in this city. Mm. For instance, the Board of Estimates and the school board, just to take two.
Yes.
And so I wondered if you could sort of explain what the city council could do, what your positions are about those two things.
All right, Allie, thanks so much. Kim.
Yeah, Allie, I attend every school board meeting, and I have been a champion for the last 3 years to change the jointly appointed school board to a partially elected. Other jurisdictions around Maryland have already made that move, that shift, where the citizens elect some of the members. And I think in one jurisdiction, all of them are elected. I'm not for that. I think let's try this mixture of elected and appointed and see if we can't change the dynamic where the people get a voice through the election process in who sits on that board. In terms of the council and the Board of Estimates, there has been discussion since I returned home for the last 10 years about changing the composition of the Board of Estimates, because this strong mayoral form of government gives the mayor two appointees on that body. And of the five, she controls three of the votes. Therefore, she gets what she wants. Now, is that fair? And I think the citizens need to have a conversation about that and let us know, do you like it that way? Do you like the executive branch controlling every dollar that gets spent? Because right now, that's the only place where money is expended in, and the council has no ability currently to spend money. And so I think we need to have a robust debate. However, there is a piece of legislation currently that has been unanimously, I believe, approved by the city council to change the city charter to take away two of the seats that the mayor controls. So, I'm not sure I fully like the direction all of these changes are going to take until we also change the ability of the other parts of government to provide the checks and balances.
Let's go to David. Line 4, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Yes, I've been listening, and I really like what I hear, but I just hope that you're sincere in what you're saying and you're willing to back up all the speeches that you make, because a lot of politicians, since I've been a child, and I've seen a lot of politicians make promises and say they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they never do it once again in office. And you sound like you're very articulate about this, and you have a passion for helping the people. And if you're truly sincere, I pray that God guides you, protect you, and bless you along the way, and I wish you all the best.
David, bless you also. And I am very sincere about this. And, you may not have heard, but Wednesday at the Board of Estimates meeting, which I try to attend all the time, I got tossed out of the meeting because I was sort of asking questions about the Port Covington memorandums of agreement that they approved that nobody wanted to address. And I felt they were important questions that needed to be aired. So I was asked to leave the Board of Estimates, and I have to thank Jane Miller of WBAL for taking a photo of the two cops who were escorting me out of the building. That's how sincere I am, because we need to have opportunities for citizens to engage in this process.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Anthony, you're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Trueheart.
Good morning.
Yes, I commend you for having the nerve to run against Jack Young. Personally, I don't care that much for him, but he just seemed to have a certain arrogance about him to me, and empowerment that he feel to me that this job as council president is something that is his, something he's not opposed, that he could keep it until he decided to just give it up or retire from it. He's never done anything to me that I know of. He claims I've done this, I've done that, but I've never seen anything that he actually done concrete for the city. I'm not saying he hasn't done anything at all. I just haven't seen it personally. And as I said, he has a smugness and an arrogance about him. When he just looks down like he's a king on a throne, like this position is his. I'm just glad that you are opposing him. And I'm glad I can to vote for you and get others to vote for you as well.
Well, I thank you so, so much. You know, this is a chance for us to make a significant difference in this city and where we're going with this city. And I intend, once I get in office on Tuesday, we're going to see some changes. We're going to see how citizens are engaged in a more meaningful and a different way.
Let's go to the phone, back to phones again. A lot of people calling in to
410-319-8888.
Ah, another outsider running to get inside. Todd Oppenheim, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Todd.
Hi, Mark.
Morning, Todd.
Hi.
Good morning. I wanted to commend Ms. Trueheart's efforts to challenge the establishment. I've seen her at several forums, and I can attest to her passion and desire for change. I just wanted her to expand a little bit more on what it's been like to run against the system and try to move a mountain in this election.
Thanks.
And by the way, Todd Oppenheim is running against the sitting judges. He's a public defender. He's running a very hard campaign. Been on the show twice now. Talk about his campaign to become a sitting judge in Maryland, in Baltimore. Sorry. Go ahead, Kim.
Thanks for the question, Todd. And I've likewise seen you out on the campaign trail fighting to get on the inside, and I commend you. You know, my opponent, I'm not going to sit here and badmouth him at all. He has said that he will stand on his record. And as you heard the previous caller, he said, well, his record isn't there, you know, and it's not meaningful, you know, and so he has to defend that. But he has not chosen to defend it in the public space. And as you know, I've attended several forums for the council presidency, and my opponent has chosen not to participate in any of those. And he has to answer to you, the citizens, with that choice that he's made. I've been accessible. I'm out here. Anybody that wants to ask me questions, you know, I even on Facebook said, you know, call me up. I'm sitting here at the desk. I'll take your questions directly. And so if anybody wants to talk to me about what my intentions are, what my motivation is, please feel free.
This interesting tweet that just came in, and maybe you can respond to this. Paul Beller tweeted in, love Kim, do not love her disruption, !! Talking to council members to get the power of the mayor's office minimized, !! How do you respond to that?
You know, I'm not violent. I'm not threatening. And sometimes civil disobedience is required. And so there are times when I may shout something out that does not always follow Robert's rules of order. I don't do it all the time, but I do it when I think it's important to raise issues.
How would you handle you if you were city council president?
I was talking to someone this morning, and I said, if there was a disgruntled citizen coming into the Board of Estimates on Wednesday, like I did, I would have said, Ms. Trueheart, I want to hear your concerns. And I would love for you to engage with us after this meeting such that we can sit down with you. And there were other advocates. Jeff Singer was in the room. Mm-hmm. Adam, you know, from healthcare to the homeless was in the room. You know, I would like the council president to say, yes, we haven't had a chance to look at these memorandum of agreements, and we'd like to sit down with the community, go over them since they're going to come to the council. Let's do that. Will that satisfy you, Ms. Truhart? But no, but instead the gavel goes, you know, banging on the desk and I get tossed out of the room. No dialogue, no interchange, no promise for a future opportunity to dialogue. The documents got approved as they were written.
410-319-8888. Kim Truhart, running to become the next city council president of Baltimore. Ricardo, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, I was just thinking, what's going to be done? What can any of the candidates do about the sleeping giant that we have? Our 12 to 16 or 12 to 18-year-olds. I can remember when I was that age, on any given Saturday, you would ride through the parks of the city and see us engaged in team sports, you would see us engaged in cultural activities and learn who we are, not just from the history books, but who we are. And I want to know, what do you have planned for that age that we need to develop?
Thanks for the question. A couple of years ago, the city was about to privatize several rec centers. And in my community, one of those rec centers was on the list. I wrote written protests asking that rec center be taken off the list to privatize. And for the last 3 years, the community where I live has operated that rec center. Mm-hmm. I think that's a model that we can replicate across this city, where the community step up in partnership, in true partnership with the government, where the government retains the facility and ownership of it, and we provide all the people and the bodies to run it, to love our children, to engage them in a very different way. And there was a marked difference in the programming that we as a community provide versus what Rec and Parks used to provide when they ran the facility. And I'm very proud of what we've done. And what I'd like to do as city council president is work with the city to see if we can't do that sort of thing in other communities.
So in the few minutes we have left, talk a bit about what you've been doing to campaign. I know that you don't have obviously the money that they do to throw all this stuff out in advertising, but you're out there working hard. I mean, give us a sense of what you're doing and what the power of that message is that you're trying to relate to people. You're going door to door?
Mark, I talk to people everywhere. People have been laughing at me, but I buy a $4 all-day bus pass, and I get on the bus around the city and engage our citizens in a very different way. And you'd be surprised talking to those on the bus. And lots of people say, oh, yeah, I talked to her on the bus the other day. You know, I will go stand where the people are and communicate with them. And I love this city enough that I'm not afraid of going into wherever it is I need to go to interact with the citizens. And so I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. I've had the best time since February the 3rd.
So, very quickly again, I want people to understand something about you as well. I mean, you came back to Baltimore after your service in the U.S. military.
Yes.
You were in the Navy.
26 years of active duty, reserve time, and as a civilian manager.
So, I mean, to just get a sense of who you were before this.
Yes. I have extensive leadership and management experience. I manage Navy programs of the billion-dollar variety. I managed hundreds of people. I'm proud to say that I was the first senior enlisted advisor for the first African-American admiral in the intelligence world. And so he and I were a team, and we traveled the country as the first African-Americans in the intelligence community at the senior levels. So I did some wonderful things in the Navy. I got my bachelor's degree with honors while I was in the Navy in business. So I think I have experience, I have education, and I have passion for my hometown.
That was the word I was getting out of my head.
I'm here, and I'm here to stay. I'm not leaving.
And I just some people don't know that about you. I want them to understand that, you know, you served in the military for a long, long time, and mm-hmm. and done a lot of work, and have been out here in the trenches, literally, mm-hmm. Every day.
Yeah.
You don't miss a board meeting. You don't miss a council meeting. You don't miss a board of estimates meeting. You don't miss a school board meeting.
I don't have any reason to miss them. I think the reason to go is our children. The reason to go is the expenditures that just make no sense to anybody. Let me get on the inside, right? I told the school board Tuesday night, I was at the school board meeting, and I told them the budget they presented this year looks very different than the budget they presented last year. And I'm talking in format. So it's hard to follow from one year where that dollar is being spent to the next year. And I'm saying we're going to have some good order and discipline around here.
So Kim, let me ask this question because we have to roll here. How do people connect to your campaign?
You can call me. My phone number is 443-454-4923. That's my campaign cell phone. You can send me an email, kim@kimtrueheart.com. My website is www.kimtrueheart.com. Remember the name, Kim Trueheart. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And we're winning on Tuesday.
Thank you so much, Kim Trueheart, running for city council president, stopping by here at the Steiner Show today. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Mark. Love you for this.
On our way to break here, before you hear the first part of our Democratic mayoral forum that we did with ex-felons questioning the mayoral candidates that took place at Douglas Memorial Church, I want to remind you all to tune in today at 3 o'clock here during the Baseman Show to hear mayoral candidates telling their stoop stories that we recorded of how they got their first job, all that coming up at 3 o'clock. Right now we have our conversations with the ex-felons and the mayor is coming up now for the first part of that. Second part will be on Monday.
Don't need experience.